We are going to jump into Colossians 1. Look at the first chapter, verses 3 to 5. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn there or on your devices, or you can just read along, all right, with us this morning. I'm going to, hang on a minute, I'm going to get my cheaters. So, 1 Colossians 1, 3 through 5, it reads, "We always thank God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel." Heavenly Father, this morning, as we get into your word, and we learn the attitude that we should have toward the church, for we, the people, we are the church, not a structure. But we, your children, are the church. I pray that we be reminded of that. I pray that we would have an attitude that is befitting to be your bride. Guide what I would share, what would you would have me to share this morning. In your name I pray, amen. It's safe to say that there's a lot of people who don't care about the church. there's some, I could say safely, that they hate the church for one reason or another. I know a couple. I have a friend that says, "Hey, you know, I believe in God, but the church..." I read of a professor that studies Islamic law in a university in Saudi Arabia, and he gave an interview in which he said, "Those who worship Christ, the Son of Mary, should be hated." You get that? He said that when a Muslim hates a Christian, it is a positive, quote, positive hatred. Wow. And it's just not something that happens overseas. It's also something here in our own country. Our American government is bending over backwards, it seems, to prohibit us Christians from speaking publicly. There were some states back in a couple years ago, 2016, I know specifically Texas, and there were others where the government was trying to have pastors submit their sermons to the local government so that they could read over them to make sure that what they were going to share was not going to hurt anyone's feelings. I'm getting very careful here, but I'm just telling you. There's a community of folks that our Heavenly Father speaks about, and he's like saying, that's not right. And as pastors, we're to speak about same-gender relationships. I'm not making that law. I'm not saying that. His word says that, okay? And I'm going to abide by that. But culture has changed. Even our military chaplains have been ordered not to speak or say anything against the LGBTQ community. They cannot. And if they do, bye. So you're a chaplain, you're a vessel of, you're an instrument of our Heavenly Father, and you want to preach His word, but yet now our own military is saying, chaplains, you can't speak against that type of lifestyle. And if it's not them, then it's definitely the entertainment industry, right? Hollywood, the music that's out there, a lot of it is anti-Christian and anti-church agenda. They're just all you got to do is just turn on the radio when it. I try to find some music. I go to the gym and I'm going to the gym, you know, working out, and I'm just trying to find some music that's kind of bumping, right? You know, so I'm like, okay, I'm getting my work on, you know. But I said, oh, workout. And I put it on, and I'm like, oh, whoa. I mean, it seemed like every other word they're dropping the F-bomb. I'm like, okay, so now I got to find another station. And then it goes on. I just figured out I just have to make my own workout music. find some praise music that's bumping, you know. Jesus warned we would be hated by the nations. We find that it says that in Matthew 10:24. If this world advocates to hate the church, what should our own attitude be? We know the church better than anyone else. It's us. And we know that the church is not perfect. It has its flaws. And it has its failures. But we should be thankful for the presence of the church in this world. Even with its flaws and mistakes, we need to be thankful for the church. Even the Apostle Paul worked this out himself and was speaking to this in Colossians. You look in the second chapter of Colossians, the 8th verse, and it speaks to him just addressing some doctrinal issues. He's there in Colossal saying, hey, I came here and I taught you one thing, and now all of a sudden you're believing this other thing. What is that? What is this polytheism type mindset where I said there's only one God, now you've gone back to worshiping all sorts of gods? That verse that says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the element spiritual of the world, and not according to Christ. I think that's what we get into sometimes, church. We don't do it all intentionally, but we start worshiping other things other than just Him. And I spoke to this before, how much time we spend on devices and our devices, it just comes up automatically on mine. How much screen time you spent on your device this week? Oh, it's up 4% this week. I think we should find a way. I know there's a way that we could tweak it to where our devices would say, how much time have you spent in the Word this week? Oh, it's up this week. Right on. Or it's down 4%. In this passage I read this morning, there are three words that I tried to enounce. Three words: faith, hope, and love, that is in that those few verses there in Colossians. We see faith, hope, and love trio together repeatedly through Scripture. And they seem to be a mark by which the church is measured by, and how we as Christians, children of God, are measured by. These are these references. 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. 1 Thessalonians 1:3. Remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and the steadfast of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1-5. The first verse there you see faith, and in the second verse, faith again. And drop down to the fourth verse in there, and it says, and the endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Galatians 5:6. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumstances nor circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Last one, Ephesians 1:15-18. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. There's something to be said when those three words are trioed, and it's found several times in Scripture. So let's just get into that real quick here, all right? First of all, we need to be thankful for the church's faith. We see that there in the fourth verse. Paul wasn't necessarily commending the church for its great faith. Paul was just thankful that in a secular setting that there's actually a church there that had faith in them. In the flanks of the Roman Empire, there was a church representing Jesus. It wasn't the size of the faith, but their existence that thrilled him. That can't be said for some churches in America. In their faith. Many churches in America, in this Western civilization, have become they just become very liberal in their stance. How congregations. Don't get me wrong. In the men's prayer breakfast, we talked about this as Ed led us yesterday. Great time yesterday with the men. We said this before. Our position needs to stay the same, but our posture needs to change. We just don't say, "Oh, you're such a sinner." All right? You're a sinner and God loves you. Want to get to know him, because I think if you really got to know him, you wouldn't want to live the life that you're living right now. But some searches are just saying, it's okay. And it's not. And yet, while there are congregations like that, there are still churches. Now remember, I'm saying people, there are churches overseas who are so committed to their Lord and his message, and they're braving great persecution in doing that. On Christ the solid rock I stand. We believe in this word. We're not bending. Christianity is still growing. People are still being baptized. And I'm thankful, so thankful for the faith of those who believe in Jesus. Secondly, I'm just trying to stay in line of the scripture because normally I would want to put this last, but the scripture talks about the love for all the saints. This is a hallmark of the church. The love. The church, you know, that's people need to see our love. It's one thing to see faith, but they need to see our love. There was a group of story of a group of sailors that were wrecked on the South Pacific. A handful of sailors survived, but they didn't have anything on them. No weapons, no food. And they happened to be on this island that was heavily inhabited by a group of people infamous for being cannibals. All right. So, and as they crept through the jungle, making their way through, hoping that they weren't going to become a Scooby snack, they see a church in the middle of nowhere, a church, and one of them suddenly just relaxes and said, "Oh, I grew up in a church. We're all right now." There's something special about when you come into a place of worship and you're in the church and you're loved and it's unforgettable. And hear me again, the church is not a building. So the church, you all were mobile. Right? We're moving. We're, as the military, Oscar Mike, on the move. Wherever we may be, we are the church. I just want to say, I want to thank the church, a representative of the church. I just want to thank them for the love that they displayed on my wife this week. I got to see the hands and feet of Jesus through the church this week. As the church came and embraced my bride in a difficult situation. I wish you guys could have seen it. I don't know that I can explain it. Not to the depth in which it affected me and how it made a difference in Nora that day. I will say that most churches are filled with this kind of love. Although I have been in some, it's in a minority that is not the case. They don't have that unconditional love of Jesus Christ. They have a conditional love. If you do this, if that's another sermon. So I'm thankful should be thankful for the love that is displayed through the church. Lastly, I'm thankful for the church's hope. It speaks of in verse 5. When we become a part of God's family, our sense of home and citizenship changes. When we become one of his people, one of his kids, we realize that this as beautiful as it is to look outside and see God's creation, we realize when we become children of God that this is not our home. We're just hanging out for a minute, okay? Just for a minute. Because now that we're His children, we're looking forward to going home. I mean, even when you go on a camping trip, you know, that's not your home. You're like, yeah, this is great camping, but eventually you know you're going to get to go home. One day we're going to get to go home. Are you looking forward to going home, church? I am. I want to be the kid saying, I want to go home. There's this writing. I don't know if you've ever read this. It's by Ichabod Spencer, the Pastor's Sketches. Anybody ever heard of that before? It's a good read, and there's a couple of volumes, and it's just really interesting. This pastor just sharing his story with his congregation and what he goes through, and he shares a story when this pastor, he's called to the bedside of a dying woman. Her bedroom is filled with friends who have gathered to see her die. So this pastor, Pastor Spencer, he starts making his way through this room filled with people who are there to see her die. And as he gets to her, she's sitting up, kind of up in her chair, and she's labored breathing, like she has asthma. And this reverend, he says to her, and when I read this, initially, because when he says, he comes up to her and he says, you seem to be very sick. I'm like, no kidding, Captain Obvious, you know, but I'm just like, okay, I need to stick to the story. Of course she's sick. All right, of course she's dying, right? So that's why all these people are here. But so she lifted up her eyes and says to him, she goes, I am very earnestly sick. She goes, I'm sick. She goes, I'm dying. And Pastor Reverend Spencer says, are you ready to die? And she lifted up her eyes to him and said very earnestly, God knows I've taken him at his word. Come on, team. He says, God knows I have taken him at his word, and I'm not afraid to die, she says. Reverend Spencer quotes a few scriptures to her, and then he prayed for several minutes, and then he turned to leave, but just as he's turned to leave, she grabs his hand, and she said, in a gasping breath, she goes, I wanted to tell you that I trust in God even while I'm dying. She said, you have often told me He would not forsake me, and I find that to be true. She says, even though I'm dying, I am at peace. I die willingly, I die happily. And so in a few minutes, Spencer, he leaves the very solemn room. But she didn't die. She didn't die. She goes on to live for many more years. I know I just wrecked that story for you, but that's what happened. She lives. But no one ever forgot the dying testimony of the woman who didn't die. She said, I have taken the Lord at His word. I know that no matter what circumstances I'm in, whether I'm dying or I'm kicking it, He will never forsake me. He is always right there. Church, you need to walk and live and breathe that. You need to know that. You need to be assured that He is always with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I know we go through some stuff. Oh, how we've been through some stuff. But he's been right there with us. The church in Colossians wasn't perfect, and neither are we. But Paul was thankful for their faith, for their love, and for their hope. I want people to know that Palmer Church of God is about all of that. That we are a church of love, and that they can see our faith and hope. I just want them to see that we reek of Jesus. You know what I mean by saying reek? Have you? No. To reek of Jesus. For someone to say, whoa. That person reeks of Jesus. Oh, you can't ignore it. And reeking of Jesus is not a bad thing. Father God, this morning I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love. Amen.